Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely. God bless the USA. Good evening to you all and a hearty hello to all you Space Rangers, some of you Space Force Rangers out there. A great big shout out to all you Patriots listening in. We got some Maggies, a couple of Anons perhaps, and a great big shout out to Q. So welcome to Mega Monday here on NatSream Network, guys. It's September. No, it's not. It's October 1st. We already changed the calendar here. It is October 1st, 2018, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert on this Mega Monday, live for you guys, and we're hoping some of you will join us in the chat room. I am your host, Leanna Grace. It is good to be back with you all here. Last week, we were on Mega Monday, had our debut. We were all ready to go and set for it and everything, and about one-third of the program recorded. So there you go. And then here again on Mega Monday, we have another little audio glitch going on. It seems the audio that I uploaded isn't necessarily processing very well. So we're going to see if it's just a Monday night habit that's going on, or see if it's just a little glitch in the way I'm the procedure that I have. Be that as it may, and in any event, it is good to be back with you guys, and we're going to continue to hold this whole space of peace, love, and grace, continuing solidarity of our mission as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. And it is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of that one thing. So we're going to talk about it all, guys, and we will bring it shining light into the dark place and maybe into some of the faces of your favorites. We will not be holding much back. So remember, too, Patriots, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, because pod people, we love you too. Question everything. We are not part of the mainstream media, so don't take me at my word. Research what you hear tonight so you can own your own experience. And all across NatSream Network, we are absolutely huge on owning our own experience. And what does that mean to us? That means doing the research and seeing things as they are rather than listening to other people tell you how they are. So did you know that the decisions that you are making for yourself are informed? And is it work? Yes, sometimes it is. But we do have, as our president says, that American grit, and that's what keeps us strong. We have to remember that. We come from good stock. We came here with nothing, right? We came here on this great piece of earth with nothing. And look what we have built, and look how close we came to our self-destruction. So our topic tonight, guys, is what makes America great. Last week we had the same topic, but we only got through the headlines and my little mantra there, my monologue, whatever. So I want to go ahead and pick up where we left off. We're going to start with the bullets. There may be some overlapping, and that's okay with me. I hope it's okay with you, because I love talking about what makes America great. So again, we ask the question, have you ever stopped about that? And stop to think about that and wonder about it. What makes us, the United States of America, so great? And tonight we're going to compare and contrast, as our intention last week, what our nation is and isn't. What makes us great and what doesn't. And the bullet points that we're going to hit, and we may not hit them in this order, we'll probably hit them actually in the opposite order of that. So let's go ahead and go down by the numbers, step by step by the numbers. Number one, republic versus democracy. Number two, principles versus persons. And if you guys want to take notes, I'll do this in the bullet form for you. Number three, privacy versus secrecy. We're going to hit that. It's a huge thing. And then that's why we have a Fourth Amendment. That's why we have our Bill of Rights. And then four, states versus federal. We're going to talk about that as far as authority, what level of authority those folks have. National versus global. That's we're considering reach there, I reckon. And then the Bill of Rights versus human rights. And we do live in a great nation, guys. There are those who may not believe that this, that our nation as it is and as it has been and as our dream of it has been is less than great, and that's just not the truth. Because if that was the truth, then we wouldn't have so many people wanting to get here. And if it was the truth, then we wouldn't be finding where our lost money went. And we're finding that out, and we'll take care of that in the program. A little housekeeping before we get too far into it, guys. October 3rd is coming up very fast. That's going to be the day after tomorrow. That is Wednesday, October 3rd, and the president has let us know that he has planned a testing of the emergency broadcast system, of the presidential emergency broadcast system. So beware of that. Expect that. And things that may follow. Also, another public service announcement, get out and vote. November 6th, we've got a good thing going, and we want to keep it going. We want to keep America great, and the way that we're going to do that is get the people who make decisions for our country rather than themselves into the offices of public trust. If we're going to give them their trust, we must be sure that they are trustworthy, and we are finding more and more every day that some of the ones that are in positions of trust are not very trustworthy. It kind of makes me mad. And I think kind of makes a lot of people mad. But they're really good at telling stories and smoke and mirrors and emotional manipulation with stories that may or may not be true. Let's give you a little bit of the schedule, guys. Mega Monday, that's us tonight. We're at 90 minutes once we start seeing more of a turnout, people in the chat room and that. People calling in wanting to give their 2, 4, and 6 cents in. Then we'll go ahead and maybe extend it to 2 hours. But as it is right now, an hour and a half is pretty good. 90 minutes is pretty good. Holistic Truth is a two-hour program. That's a call-in program as well. And then Patience of the Saints. In fact, all the programs that we have set up, I more than welcome call-ins to it to discuss the topics, perhaps even educate your host just a little bit, because I'm always open for a really good lesson. And on Friday, what we're talking about in Patience of the Saints is the topic of the harlots in the house and the thief is at the door. And we're talking about Torah. Hopefully that will make folks curious. We are still working on all the time schedules, guys, to make sure where we're going to land, as we start up. Sponsorship, we are completely listener supported. For your support, we are grateful. We still don't have the webpage yet. We're working on that. There's a lot of headlines going fast. Oh, my goodness, hard to keep up. And the rally tonight, my goodness, did you guys see the rally tonight? What a turnout. I didn't get any of the audio downloaded and processed like I usually do, but we are going to listen to a few guests. We have some special music. If it finishes processing in time in the queue, we uploaded it, and we'll see how long it takes to get it back. The names of our donors are kept confidential, and I ask that if I do know you, that you keep your name confidential from me, and that just keeps the boundaries of decency and all that stuff really good. We're trying to keep our budget right around 100 ducats in the bucket per month, and we'll see if we can get by with that as far as our expenses go. Keep them pretty low because, we are a home studio, so we get to bring it to you with a little lower cost. We are sprouting back up, getting up, running, and we are growing, and we will go and grow where we're led and able. We'll be opening up, like I said, the phone lines later on the broadcast. We want to hear from you what you have to say. This is a program to do it. If you have, if you're part of the team, if you're a patriot and you have something to add or you want to remind folks or something, or just want to discuss something because you don't have anyone around you, we're kind of a rare breed. The mainstream media would have you to say, but you may not have another MAGA around to talk to. So feel free to call in. Maybe we can make this a round table discussion. I'm all open for that. I think it would be a blast. I'm up for it. What do you say? So we'll check in the chat room right now and see if we've got any tree people in there, because tree people, we absolutely love you and you rock. And we do have somebody in the call line. We want to say hello to you out there and just let you know that we see you. If at any point when we open up the phone lines and you do want to talk to the guest, to the host, push the number 1 on your dial and we will bring you into the queue. Having said that, let's go ahead and move forward, but definitely, definitely welcome to the program. Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead and give a little bit of my monologue because it still fits, and I think I might go ahead and undo the program that we had last time and do this as a jump start. So, as I said in my other monologues, guys, there's so much going on, it's hard to know where to get to. The headlines are changing so fast, and I look out over the folks you know, we are going to go a little different direction. You know, I look out over the folks that this last week, whether it's the Kavanaugh hearing, or whether it's the rallies, or whether it's people on the street being angry, or whether people taking polls, and then we got commercials going on. What I want everybody to understand within the sound of my voice is what's going on is a mind job. It is an operation. It is an operation to convince the people of an idea. And I'm going to leave that right there as we move merrily along, because we will get back to that. So we said last week, you know, if you're describing our president and our commander-in-chief as an orange narcissistic baby man, I'm going to tell you to check yourself and grow up, because little kids call names. And usually it's something that they would feel uncomfortable with themselves had they had that. So they would feel comfortable as commander-in-chief. They're taking him down because they don't like his looks. What the heck is that? We're doing good. And what I see is a whole bunch of cast members coming out looking for a remake of the series of Mean Girls. And it's just people are being mean. And I'm wondering what is fueling it. And we will talk about some of the things that are fueling it on our other program on Holistic Truth. We're going to talk about emotional manipulation. And the title of the program on Wednesday is going to be Empathy Trap. And that's what I think and I see is being set up on the world stage right now is an empathy trap. It seems as though without enough evidence, people are still standing in empathy of an accuser without evidence and willing to hang somebody that has no proof against him from hearsay. And I ask the question, have we gotten that far? Are we really there? I mean, we might as well get pitchforks and torches. If we're going to be barbaric, we might as well just put on the full dress uniform. What I saw on the Senate floor was insane. A good man battered. And the nation exposed to battery. How was the nation exposed? They had to watch it. And this is my premise on that. If they're a survivor, if you're a survivor of a molestation or a violent attack or a rape, you could see the truth of things. But those who are still in their victimhood and looking for someone to blame as an outlet because they haven't dealt with their issues are calling for the head of the judge. And the public is being manipulated. And those who have already been victimized with an actual act are being beat to death psychologically. Their amygdala is being triggered. Their emotional centers are being put off kilter. And they're blaming someone else for what happened to them, and they want to hold somebody else responsible to what happened to them. Are we really there? I had a hangnail once, but I'm certainly not going to blame my hangnail doctor. The survivors see through the charade. The victims, maybe not so much. And that's where the national battery comes in. We talked about that on a program last week. A battered nation, and they're still doing it. They're leading those who are in a wounded state, showing these things, saying these things over and over in a vernacular that we never would have used on the air before. Why? Because children listen. And now we have children going to their parents and saying, Mommy and Daddy, what does that mean? The children do not need to know these things. It is bigger than their little brains and emotional centers can handle. And it is so delicate at some of these stages that if it is misfiled, even the viewing of the hearing could be a battering to a child. Do you understand? And even the viewing and the hearing of can be a battering to the victims who have not yet resolved their issues. Do you understand? Because all of the ones who have survivors, they know. They've worked through their issues. They know that whether Judge Kavanaugh is guilty of these things for which there is no proof, it wasn't him that did it to them. It wasn't Judge Kavanaugh. Even if he did the other atrocious things, it wasn't Judge Kavanaugh that did it to them. And yet they're owning it, and they carry a banner, and their wounds are opening up, and they're in an excited state and a confused state and a battered state all over again. And the survivors see through it. They see through the charade. And this is what concerns me. These things do not make America great. This is phony, baloney, circus, media. Make sure everybody hates this guy so that if we have to make a decision, it won't cost us anything. Make sure everybody hates this guy so he doesn't get on the bench because he might actually enforce the Constitution. And there is photo evidence of Dianne Feinstein threatening other senators. We got a snapshot. This is not a delicate procedure anymore. If they wanted to handle it correctly and delicately, they would have handled it correctly and delicately, and everybody's dignity would have remained intact. But they're not wishing for everybody's dignity to remain intact, or they would have done it. They know right from wrong, just like you and me. They know the law even better than you and me. And they were taught common decency, just as you and I were. But none of those things are coming to the fore in some of these scumbag Democratic leaders. I'm not going to call the whole party it because their Democratic leaders are fooling their party. They're making smoke and mirrors and wild allegations. Now, if this is the case, for those who have not yet walked away and for those who newly walked away and for those who are definitely have been never walked up, what does that tell you? If they're putting this much effort to stop a judge, I'm going to leave you with that question. What does that tell you? If they're putting this much effort to stop a thing, it must have power to stop them, or they would not invest their resources. They have a lot of other fronts that they're battling right now, those that are of the deep state. We've got them against the wall, and they're panicking, and they're making mistakes. And I'm very, very happy about it. And that is my intro for this evening. So I want to welcome you guys who just tuned in. I am your host, Leander Grace. We are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. Coming on over in here to the chat room. I haven't seen anybody land yet. Looking for Easy Rider to come in. And he might show up there here in a little bit. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and let's see what I've got. A little bit of tickle in my throat. Need to clear my throat. Don't want to disturb you guys with that sound. So I'm going to find a nice way to segue into it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and skip through the headlines, guys. There's a lot of headlines to get to, you know, but what I do want to speak about, I want to get straight to the meat and the potatoes, straight to the bullet points. You know, the folks that are listening to my voice, you know, the headlines, my main audience. You know what's going on in front of and behind the scenes. And the outcome, it's, you know, it's a short play. It's TikTok. Their time is running out for those who want to corrupt. Time is running out. So let's go ahead and start. Let's take a look at our bullet points. Let's take a look at all of this stuff. You know, let's meet the topic head on, and we're meeting it really early, and I'm very happy about that. So the last bullet point, you know, the last bullet point on the list is human rights versus the Bill of Rights. And this is how we're going to proceed in the program. We're just going to take it and compare and contrast, see what is and what is, what it does and does not do for us or against us. And so let's take a look, first of all, at the widest scope. The widest scope that the Constitution has is the Bill of Rights, that it addresses the people directly and addresses what the government at least must protect this. At least must ensure these rights. You know, we got freedom of speech and the press and the freedom to worship. And that's kind of a mind thing. We get to think for ourselves, we get to express that, and we get to worship. And we have the Second Amendment. We have the right to carry arms to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. That's the reason for it. That's the reason for it. And then there, you know, there's the third and the fourth, and we can go on down the line. It's going to take too much time. It'll end up fluff and be an airtime. But there's only ten. Pardon me while I clear my throat. Second, only 10. Now let's go to the Bill of Rights, or to the human rights rather. There are over 25 to 30 points of access that some regulatory power must have to ensure these rights. basically to ensure your human rights by the Human Rights Council and the fascist document. It's a fascist document, and I call it a fascist document because it has a head of Mithra. It's a fascist symbol. Also Mithra's, you know, Mithraism, and it also has the fascia. It's the bundle of rods, right, with the axe in the middle. That's fascia. So it's a fascist document. They label it that way. And basically what it is a way to get into all of your business and run it under the guise of taking care of you. Where, on the other hand, with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it's a way of limiting the way government could dare to take care of us, that they must protect our liberty. So now let's take a look at bullet number five. Let's take a look at global versus national. Now, I don't know if any of you followed the UN speech from the president. I had a little bit of a clip of it. I don't know if it's going to process very well in time. But basically what the president of the United States did is got up in front of the United Nations and said, you know what, we're not going to play this global game anymore. We're not going to funnel our money out through phony tariffs and taxes and stuff. We're not going to allow, you know, our wealth to be funneled out in the guise of humanitarian aid to people who want to kill us. You know, we're not going to do these things anymore. We're going to concentrate on us. We're going to build our nation. We're going to take care of our people. We're going to do these things. Then he stood up for us. Which means the United Nations cannot tell me how tall my grass can be, nor can the United Nations under Agenda 21 through Agenda 2030 tell us how large of a home we can have, or tell us how many children we can have, or tell us how many things we can own, because that's what Agenda 21 is going to, is how much space each individual person can actually take up safely so that those who want to rule it have lots of place to play. It's no different than that. So I ask you, what do you want? Do you want national, where we have our rights, or do you want global, where the world decides how you're going to live your life? It's just a question. At the national level, where we elect them, we can unelect them. We have no say who's in charge at the global level. We don't have an input as an individual. At the national level and at state level, at the regional level, community level, district, it works. You have a voice, and it trickles up. With globalism, it trickles down. Completely different picture. Now let's take a look at the other bullet point. We're going backwards now. We're going from the bottom to the top. Let's take a look at the states versus federal. Now, I live in a state that I really like, and it is one of the last republics, but it has since gone a little blue. I think we're looking for a little more red on it. I'm hoping for a little more red on it. But this state also has perhaps what I think is really good Second Amendment protections. As long as you're not too close to the border, then you don't have any rights. We'll talk about that later in the program. So in my state, they have certain laws that other states and certain privileges and liberties that other states don't have. But the federal government cannot tell either of the states how to run their state. You say, well, Leander Grace, the federal government's been running the states. Yeah, the federal governments have been running the states. The federal government has had the states on the hook, and they're about to get off and be self-sufficient once again. A dependency was built upon the federal government from the states to get the states to step in line. We are seeing the stepping away from that, where our states will have their individual voice, and our voice will be closer to our own governing authority. The federal government is not our boss. We are its boss. The state is not our boss. We are its boss. And we must understand that the power trickles up. It does not trickle down. The authority trickles up in this country. It does not trickle down. And if we don't like a law, we can change it. And there are several different ways to do that, whether our senators and congressmen would like it to be done or not. This is one of the few nations that I know of where there is a local remedy for liberty. Now let's take a look at some privacy and secrecy issues. First of all, let's take a look at what's the difference. What's the difference between privacy and secrecy? Now, I have a certain amount of privacy that I enjoy, that I expect to enjoy. I expect to have a private life when I have a private life, and be in public when I want to be in public. Now, if someone who has a suspicious mind or is a sister, twisted sister happens to glance and see something occurring in my personal space, and they don't have a context for it, but they feel the need to report it, then my privacy is blown and a story is created. And whether that story is true or whether that story is not true, the person who reported whatever they saw thinks they saw what they saw, but they didn't see what they saw. And then my reputation comes on the line. That's an invasion of privacy and a misuse of information and slander and defamation. And it happens all the time, and nobody's saying anything about it anymore. Now, what is the purpose of secrecy? Secrecy is to keep private or secret things that you don't want others to know because it might go bad for you. You need to be secret about it. Sometimes it's only being secret about a birthday present, right? But you're hiding the truth. There's a certain truth that gets hidden. Here's truth, hide it. That's a secret. Privacy is, there's nothing going on. It's truth. Just shield it from the eyes of those who would warp their perception of what they think they see going on. And that's the purpose of privacy. If you take 20 words from my mouth in any given context, you can twist those 20 words to say, to represent anything you want on any side of the argument. And that's the problem with the misuse of privacy and an invasion of privacy. Take a little bit, it's like listening, eavesdropping. You hear half the conversation and you think you know. Once you don't know what the conversation is in context, and that's what privacy is about. So that misinformation does not get propagated. So things don't get out of control when we know where the truth is. We've got to know where the truth is. And if someone's making up something and we're going to believe that it's true, that's a big suffering for everybody. I'm going to get to the next ones, the paper versus people and republic versus democracy on the other side of a break. I went a little bit longer than I expected to, but I get a little riled up, as most of you who have listened to me know. I get passionate about what I'm speaking of or I wouldn't be on the air. I am your host, Leander Grace, and I want to give a big old shout out, and I'm talking huge, huge shout out to some mega artists and QAnon artists. They gave us a little song. Hopefully it's finished processing. It is my hope. It doesn't look like it has, and that's very worrisome to me. Well, I'm not sure how to do work around this, so I may just have to keep talking and not take a break, because the audio that I did upload is still processing in the queue through Blog Talk Radio, so we might not be able to get to that. But what I do have is a little bit of a soundbite, just so that I can get up and stretch my legs and do a little bit of that. I wanted to go over into the chat room as well. We may be break free because I don't have an equitable audio fully loaded up. That's kind of disheartening a little bit. So what we will do is we'll give a little bit of shout out to the whole nation this way. Here we go. All right, there we have that, a shout-out to the USA. Really, guys, what I'm going to do is just kind of play a little bit in the studio, and you'll have some audio, and we'll see what's going on, because my audio is not processing here in the queue. Technical difficulties on a live show. Let's go ahead. I'm going to play a couple of audios back-to-back. We will hear a public service announcement from Veterans for Child Rescue. That is an organization I've had the privilege to volunteer for, and the best way that I can volunteer for them is with a public service announcement. So we'll hear a little bit of tunage, and then we'll hear from them, and then we'll be back on the air, and that gives me just a chance to breathe at a normal pace and take care of some little critters that I have here in the background. They're four-legged and furry, and they take good care of me, so I have to remember to take good care of them. I am your host, Leander Grace. We'll be back right on the other side. children need our help. The children are depending on us. 46 children a day are sold into slavery in the United States. That's almost 17,000 per year sold into child sex trafficking. Children need our help now. Veterans for Child Rescue, V4CR, is a nonprofit 501c3 organization founded by veteran Navy SEAL Craig Salman Sawyer. There is one mission, a singular goal, to eliminate domestic minor sex trafficking. Along with their investigative Viper teams, V4CR coordinates with local law enforcement and NGOs to rescue children that are being exploited. They help to procure the arrests of predators and put them behind bars. Seeking to empower the communities and families, Veterans for Child Rescue provides education and outreach programs in communities across the country through schools, churches, and civic groups. It's time to raise awareness about this epidemic destroying our children's souls. Children need our help now. Children are depending on us. For their sake, we must act. Join the fight and visit the website. Donate, sign up, or be a volunteer. End trafficking now with Veterans for Child Rescue. If you or someone you know is being assaulted, help is available. Please call 911, the National Trafficking Hotline, at 888-373-7888 or text HELP to 233-733. That's HELP to 233-733. If you see something suspicious, always report it. You could be saving someone's life. Absolutely. God bless the USA, and God bless all the listeners out there, you patriots, some of you magazine, you QAnons, and all of the rest. I want to welcome you back to the program. We are asking the question, what makes America so great? You know, we think we're so great. What makes us great? We're going through some of the bullet points. We're doing it in the reverse. And we've talked so far about, you know, the difference between the Bill of Rights and human rights. You know, I want to revisit that just a minute. Well, we talked about that, and then the national versus global, states versus federal, privacy versus secrecy. We're going to hit that again as we get into the people versus the paper and the republic versus the democracy. But one more time on those on the human rights. You know, a lot of people are saying human rights are, you know, women's rights are human rights, or these rights are human rights. People, I want to tell you, if we start going along with human rights, then we're going to have micromanagement up our buckets 24/7, and we won't be able to move around in our own home without putting out a request in triplicate. That's the danger that we're seeing. That's the risk that there is letting other people make our decisions, and the way we have it right now, we can. How do we do that? Right. So privacy versus secrecy. Privacy is something that you want to protect so people can't take the truth and twist it. Secrecy is something you do so people don't see the truth that's necessary to know. So that's the biggest difference. One's to hide something, one's to protect. One's to fool, and one's to guard. And it becomes as simple as that. So let's not be fooled into using them as the same thing. Privacy and secrecy are actually not the same. It has all to do with motivation. When we're talking with real big words like that, privacy and secrecy, right? Those are big words for me some days. You know, we have to pay attention to what we're representing. Yeah. There you have that. So let's go up the bar. Let's go up the bar and see what we've got. Paper versus people. In the United States. Paper versus people. What does that mean, Aunt Grace? Well, that means that we have a document. And we have people. Yeah, Aunt Grace. Okay, we're going to go through this step by step and by the numbers, folks. The paper is a principled document. the principles that work, have worked for this country for over 200 years. It's the longest living republic across the earth in recent times. Let me get all my ancient histories. I didn't pull from that. So, you know, we have longevity and we have experience. And then we have people. And people are whimsical. People are fanatics. And, you know, not to be too delicate about it, to quote Men in Black movie, right? We're, what is it? Whatever that great big long ignorant, paranoid, whatever, as a people. Individually, we're rock. But as a people, we can become whimsical. And we can be talked into things, and we can see nice, shiny objects, and we can decide we want to do this. But then we have this paper. And then we have these people over here that think that just because we like them, they have wonderful personalities, wonderful things, and they think something's a good idea. We like them. We want to change our mind. We're not going to be able to do that, folks, and the reason is because we have paper. We have a principled paper, a paper of principles for our nation to function on. That's what that is. If we follow our own rules, it's wonderful. And there's another term for this, they say, in some of the healing arts and some of the recovery progress, and that's placing principles before personalities. Scripturally, it's called being no respecter of persons. It's the way God sees it. Here's the rules. Here's the law. Here, yeah, we're getting a little scriptural. We're going to on every program because that is where I live and breathe. We have principled rules. We have a principled paper. We have a way to put principles before personalities. Now, you say, well, why is that so important? Because it gets the ego out of the law. It gets our ego, egotistical whims and our wants and our cries and our whines, because we all have them as individuals and as people, it puts it back to principles. It doesn't allow for special interest groups. It doesn't allow for only these people and that people. It allows for everybody. Everybody. Principles before personalities. No respecter of persons. And if we follow the principled paper, the Constitution of the United States that was drawn up and binds us, and what we give our blood for to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we have to watch out for the domestic. That's what we defend. We defend the principles of our way of life that has worked so well until very lately. A generation of people tried to work around the Constitution, and now we're in a pickle, and now we're in a mess, and the general people follow other people, and they don't know up from down and right from left because they have forgotten about the principled paper to follow. Makes things successful before the personalities. And we need to remember that. We must, as a nation, place principles before personalities, or we become very, very sick as a nation. And if you don't believe me, turn on the radio, turn on the news, look out the window. We have followed personalities for a very long time. For a very, very, very long time. Hollywood boomed and we fell in love and we all wanted to be like them. But we didn't know who they were because they had their personalities out and we didn't pay any more attention to our principles because that looked more fun. Fill in the blank. Don't let me get on a roll with that. We'll save that on Faithful Fridays and we'll dig into the scripture. You're more than welcome to join us at 8 o'clock on Fridays for Faithful Friday. So principles before personalities. What else does that mean? That means that I, as a follower of Yeshua, have the same rights, privileges, liberties, protections, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, as anyone of any other denomination claiming here on this this continent. What that doesn't mean is that people who want to bring in a different law and replace our principled paper with their law, they don't get to do that. And it's not about anything except following our principles before personalities. It doesn't matter about color of skin, doesn't matter about what religion it is, it doesn't matter who they worship. It matters the law that's implemented, and we have a law. We have a principled paper that reminds us to ignore personalities in order to be successful. It doesn't mean ignore the person, just our penchant for personalities and fanaticism and hero worship and star idolatry. We have a penchant for that. And we get mixed up and we stumble, and then all of a sudden now we have to clean it up. And it is painful. It is a lot easier to keep the house clean than to let it go and clean it up. It can be an overwhelming task. But where we're at right now, we have force multipliers. Because why? We live in a what? Let's talk about that for a minute. Republic versus democracy. Now, I'm not talking about the Republican Party versus the Democratic Party, although it kind of seems that it fits, and we need to discuss this. Republic Party, or the Republic. In a republic, there is no such thing as majority rule. In a democracy, it's majority or it's mob rule. In a republic, everyone is sovereign. I'll give you two examples. They're very simplistic. If there are 9 wolves and 1 sheep and they vote for what's for lunch and the McDonald's is closed, sheep's going to be for lunch every time. But in a republic, the sheep can veto the vote. The sheep's right to not be lunch is every bit as important as the wolf's right to have lunch. That's why our government should be slow, so that we stay to our principles rather than personalities. Again, an example, if I have a bicycle and nobody else in the neighborhood has a bicycle, if they take up a neighborhood vote that my bicycle should belong to them, in a democracy, I lose. In a republic, my property is mine. Cold, dead hands. And we are given the right with the Second Amendment to defend our life and our liberty and our property. How are we going to do that? We can't do that with just a piece of paper, nor harsh language, because there are wicked people out there. So a republic, everyone is sovereign. In a democracy, it's mob rules. If you're not a majority, that's too bad. You say, well, Anna Grace, you know, we have it's a democratic vote, but it is a republic rule. Everyone is sovereign. And that's what it means to be a citizen of the United States of America. And what makes this nation great is not just the people. And although we have a wonderful president right now, what makes America great is not President Donald J. Trump, although he is helping us make that. He's in a position to make a difference. He is taking care of the nation. And what is he doing? He is following the principled paper. And even though all of the principles have been thrown out the window over the last 3 decades, it is still necessary to use the principled paper and not get caught up in the other people's dirty tricks as we solve this problem and as we clean it up, as we drain the swamp. So what makes America great? What is it? I'll tell you what I think it is. It's our principled paper document. It is the Constitution. And those who would destroy our republic and replace it with their form of democracy know that their time is short, and they seem to be willing to do anything to to keep the Constitution from being enforced. Those who raised their hand, swore to defend it, clearing my throat. They raised their hand, they swore to defend it. But they're trying to work around it. And I see Hillary Rodham Clinton up there saying this is very bad for our democracy. And I'm telling you, yes, the decisions that we are making are very bad for their form of democracy. For our republic. And I'm going to challenge folks. Something I don't normally challenge to do with is I'm going to suggest folks go back, and I believe you can find it on either C-SPAN, and watch back-to-back episodes of the Press Correspondents' Dinner when Barack Obama was president. Watch them back-to-back. Because one thing that I know doing the work that I do and dealing with in the healing techniques that I use is I know what ego sounds like. And what I said on my last program on Friday night is ego will always tell its own story first. Or maybe I said on Wednesday. Ego will tell its own story first. So if we listen to the finger pointing, we can tell, they basically tell on themselves of what it is that they're doing, especially when we know that the accusation's wrong. So in America, in the United States of America, everyone is sovereign. Every state is sovereign from each other and from the federal government. Yes. And then I do believe also that at the state level, the requirements for membership into the United States, into the federal part of it, into the federation. I like the way that sounds. So there with the Space Force and our federation, it goes in. But they must include certain things in their constitution that ensure our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So there is a certain amount of, you know, a certain amount of agreement that needs to occur. In other words, the states can't necessarily, they can't operate outside of the Constitution or hold themselves higher, at a higher law than the Constitution gives us. And they can't override federal laws without going through a process through the senators and all that. So we have remedies. And I was speaking to this on another program and with a friend of mine across the pond. We have remedies for all of these situations that are coming apart. They're coming up and trying to tear our country apart. But if we walk away and we do not hold tight to this principled paper, this principled document of the Constitution, then we won't remain great. We won't. We won't have those assurances. And it does us very little good to have the document in writing if it's just going to be a document in writing. And I do believe when Shrubbery, George W. Bush, little guy, when Shrubbery was sitting in the chair, he actually said during a news interview, he said, it's just a document, it's just a piece of paper. It was at that moment that I realized that I had been duped by him as well. Because it's not just a piece of paper, and he swore to defend that piece of paper. And in that moment, he revealed that he wasn't willing to do that, or he was no longer going to do that, or that it wasn't that much of a priority to him, although he did raise his right hand and had an oath of office. So these are the things that we must be careful to pay attention to, and we must speak up. That's what makes America great. We have a voice. But my concern is, I do believe that the general population has been taught not to use it. Don't use your voice. Someone will beat you up. Case in point, Judge Kavanaugh. Don't go for higher office if we don't want you there. We'll make you look bad. We will bash you. And we have the mainstream media to back us up. That's their argument. George Stephanopoulos one time was recorded as saying, if you go live with that story, we will make you look like the worst person in the world. Now, to paraphrase, that's the gist of it. So the media, a news anchor, some news guy, threatening somebody because they have the power to tell stories. They have the authority to do it. And what they're doing is, it's not illegal. It perhaps should be, but it's not illegal. They're covered by a 1997 law, a precedent, that was passed in the state of Florida. And the Monsanto was the one, and Monsanto versus Fox News. And it was back during the time of the investigators, and they didn't get very far because once they investigated and found out the truth, they didn't want the program anymore. So there was a great big fight about it. until finally the unstable judge came to the conclusion that it was not illegal. Now, actually, you know, I say that, and that's not fair. But the judge in that case ruled that, I don't know how it could be stable, though, and make this ruling, because it's absolutely unconstitutional. But what basically what he said was that the news can just be, even if the news media knows that the information that they're putting forth is not true, it's okay. Kind of like a buyer beware, right? Even though the car doesn't go, you can pretend it doesn't sell it. And if they catch it, good. If they don't, well, you know. But lately what's going on is if we catch it, they just deny, and do a shift of the scenario, accuse somebody else of something else, give another sensational headline, and we forget about the last thing. We forget about the last thing. We forget about we forget about the topic we were on when they diverted us. When they diverted us. I don't know that we can afford to do that anymore. I don't know that we as a nation, if we want to stay mentally and psychologically and emotionally stable as a public, that we should allow the media that right. I think that at the state level and even perhaps at the federal level, a law can be introduced stating that if it's knowingly false, that the media can be liable for knowingly reporting factually incorrect information. Not unlike the CNN scenarios during the Iraq War, when they were nowhere near the Iraq War, but they had a sound studio and all of this, and they scared people to death. That's not reporting. That's creating the news. And it's like just this last flood when Anderson Cooper was standing in a ditch pretending that all the water was that tall. And then we get busted him because people standing by another Weather Channel man acting like, oh, I'm being blown, I can't stand. And these people are walking upright with very little resistance because they were actually in an area of the storm that wasn't that bad right then. And yet our cameramen are putting on plays for us, actors, acting out what they want us to see so that we will think and feel they want us the way they want us to think and feel. It's the Mockingbird media, the companies, the corporate media, and they're lying to the public. And the half of the public is angry at the media, and the other half of the public is angry at the public that's angry at the media. And it's, as we said on our program on Holistic Truth, it's a dysfunctional family. It's dysfunction. There's no other way to sum it up. Dysfunctional law makers. I'm not sure how we got this far other than we trusted too much. And we forgot what President Reagan told us to trust but verify. We don't check on our leaders that we elect anymore. We just expect them to do the right thing. Why? Because most people are decent, and that is a reasonable expectation for most people to have. But that is not what's happening. And so we have to look closely on who it is that we give the keys to or put in the driver's seat or any of that. Now, we haven't had a lot of folks come up. I had the extra half hour at the end of the program so that maybe we could have some call-ins. That doesn't look like it's going to be the case, so I'm going to go ahead and take the rest of the 4 minutes of this hour. Next time when we schedule it, we'll keep it to an hour broadcast on Mega Monday until we do have people show up. But some more, again, coming back to the public service announcements, remember that on October 3rd, there will be an emergency broadcast test for the president. And in November 6th, guys, we need to use our voice. We need to use our vote and get out there and do it. Guys, we are listener-supported, 100% listener-supported for your support. We are grateful. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. We have some several audio issues that seem to be occurring. I'm not sure why that is or how that is. It seems strange to me that on Mondays there's issues. But nonetheless, we will go forward. And next week we will be here again with Mega Monday. We're going to talk about the progress that we've made, the way that we work together, and some things to look out for. I'm going to give a shout out to Easy Rider, and I want to thank you for being here and being there and supporting on the program. I also want to give a shout out to Dar. Hope to hear from you soon. Sir, thank you for all your support and all of that. Guys, until we come back, we're going to be back on Wednesday with Holistic Truth, and we're going to be talking about emotional manipulation. And we're going to do it on several levels, and we're not just going to take care of it, you know, at the emotion. We're going to talk about it politically, how the politics have come in to emotionally manipulate the masses to get the response that they want to the stimulus that they're putting out. They have an insane degree of Pavlovian control that I have not ever seen a country have before since World War II. When the Democratic Socialist Republic people were trying to lead up there, and of course we know that led to Nazism. I hear the left calling the right Nazis and racist, and it is not true. But remember that those who were turned into the Nazi Party started out as the Democratic Socialists. We have to remember that. Antifa carries their flag. And so for those of you who are wondering whether it's worth your time and effort to walk away, I'm going to encourage you to do so. Because there won't be much. Well, I'm not going to say that so much, but a lot of folks will be going away. And it would be very helpful if we got more help on the right side of history. There's a reason the world actually loves and respects our president as much as the patriots do. Why is that? Because we're sticking to principles before personalities. And that helps keep the corruption down. The deep state had tentacles. There was a monster on every shore. They're being tamed and subdued. And nations are getting their own countries back as well. It is a very exciting time to be alive. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Till next time, reminding you always to watch for those signposts, connect those dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good, like vote. Until next week, good night.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.